Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Next man up, 102.5, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you on this Tuesday morning. I am live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Training camp rolls along. Titans on the practice field later this morning with the Bears looming over the weekend. Thursday, joint practice, and Saturday, the preseason finale. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well. I got to get this out of the way, Jake. Duh, yep. Bears. I'm sorry.
Duh, Bears.
It just...
Yeah. It's, I got to say, I'm excited. Tomorrow, I get we're going to have Corey and Parker on, so I'm going to be surrounded by Bears fans. We're going to get the best possible – well, I guess Parker's not a Bears fan, but he's very clued in on the Bears.
Don't give him that credit.
We will get plenty of preview of Bears-Titans coming up tomorrow, which will be fun.
Love that. Yeah, no, my first ever jersey outside of a Titans jersey was a Matt Forte Chicago Bears jersey. So
Matt Forte.
Yeah.
He's a fantasy legend. Like, that's – I feel like that's a guy that not going to go down as a Hall of Famer, but he was always such a great fantasy football running back because, he'd make plays out of the backfield. He was good. He was good back on those Bears teams with Cutler.
Yeah, he's kind of like that, let's say, old-school Arian Foster in a roundabout way where he can be versatile in both – ways in the backfield. But yeah, no, you're right. One of those underrated running backs out of the Green Wave from Tulane. I mean, another underrated school in some aspects.
Yes, 100%. The Green Wave, they produce some decent running backs. We've seen one on the Titans over the last few years, hoping that Tajay Spears can stay healthy. We've got a lot to get to today. Titans, again, going to hit the practice field coming up a little bit later this morning. The rivalry uniforms are officially out. We will get to those coming up in a little bit. We do have a look at what the Titans' new alternates might look like. But we have to start with the news this morning. Vanderbilt has announced, or at least it's being reported, that Vanderbilt will start Blaze Berlowitz in week one against Austin Peay coming up in 12 days. The former New Mexico State Aggie has been in the system with Tim Beck for a long time now. He's been backing up Diego Pavia, and he does get the nod over five-star freshman Jared Curtis to start week one against the Govs. I will say, surprising decision. I've said before that I understand both sides of the argument, that they're looking at a guy who has plenty of experience, knows the system like the back of his hand, and somebody with supreme talent, the highest rated recruit in Vanderbilt history. They end up opting for the more experienced player in Blaze Berlowitz to start week one.
I mean, let's be fair. If he went to Georgia, he's backing up Gunnar Stockton. So being here at Vanderbilt, backing up Blaze Berlowitz to start the season, it may look bad on the surface, but I feel like on the long-term look at this, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, and Pete Thamel in his report does say that Jared Curtis will also play in that game against Austin Peay. He's going to get the opportunity to get his feet wet a little bit. I've always said if it's close, go with the young guy because you can get him the reps early and get him acclimated to playing college football before you start facing the SEC schedule. 9 SEC games doesn't give you a whole lot of time to ramp up and get ready for the season. But I do understand that Berlowitz maybe can ease the transition here. I wonder how long it's going to be until Jared Curtis does end up starting, because I don't think this is a decision that's going to be for the full year. If I had to guess, I think Jared Curtis is starting at some point in the non-conference schedule, but I just wonder when that's going to be. When does the decision to take the training wheels off make the most sense for Vandy?
Yeah, I would say probably, like you mentioned, like week 3-ish, week 4-ish, if they get out of the non-conference 3-0, which in my opinion, if they want to go bowling, they have to go undefeated in their out-of-conference games. But it would be interesting to see him, start versus a SEC team, just because that's kind of like a baptism by fire moment. And again, Vandy's in uncharted waters. I mentioned this to you and Connor in weeks past. They've never been in this situation to where they've had a $2 million NIL valued quarterback, and he could potentially change the direction of their entire collegiate, team. So it's just uncharted waters, and I just I really do think that if they play the long game with him, which is what it seems like, I think it's going to pay off more in a beneficial way than it is in a negative light.
I do know that in this era of college football, you have to be careful because it's not just once you recruit a guy, he's yours for 3 or 4 years like it used to be. I mean, yeah, there were transfers back 10 years ago, but obviously it wasn't quite as widespread as we've seen over the last really 4 to 5 years since COVID. And with Jared Curtis, you do have to keep that in mind of this is a, like you said, franchise or program-changing player that you've brought in. You do have to play the long-term game, but you also have to understand you've got to make sure he's happy and that he's going to stick around for the long term. So I do think Jared Curtis is going to be the starter at some point this season, but Clark Lee did say over SEC Media Days that they recruited Jared Curtis making absolutely no promises about what his first season was going to look like. There were no promises that he was going to be the day one starter. He was going to have to come in and earn it just like everybody else. And clearly, Clark Lee, very thoughtful in this process, made the decision that Blaze Berlewitz gives the team the best chance to win, at least in week one. But we will see. Again, the report from Pete Thamel is that Jared Curtis will play two in that game. Who knows how long we're going to see Blaze Berlewitz out there. Are they going to split reps evenly? Are we going to see Curtis come in once the game might get out of hand? I don't know. That's something that Clark Lee may be able to answer when he speaks to the media next. But I do think that this is – I don't think this is a decision for the full season. I think this is a decision for one, and they'll be able to reevaluate as they go along.
Yeah, and let's remember, this is a SEC Coach of the Year at one point, Clark Lee. Every decision he makes with this Vanderbilt football program is calculated. And that's why he has gotten them to bowl games. That's why he's reached new heights with this program. I do think you make a good point of, like, could they potentially do a two-quarterback set throughout the season? And correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, but Mike Wright and A.J. Swan, did they not split reps at one point together behind center?
Yeah, I mean, I believe they did back in, what was that, 2022?
Something like that.
Yes, because A.J. Swan was, he wasn't the type of prospect that Jared Curtis was, but right. He was viewed as, oh, this is the quarterback of the future. And they did ease him in a little bit. And when he did get in, you saw that he was very, very turnover prone. Right? Like, that was the issue with A.J. Swan, was that he couldn't quite make the right decisions and he put the team in a bad situation. I have not been out there enough to see what Jared Curtis is doing in practice. I've watched the spring game and I watched one scrimmage. I wouldn't say that there's that kind of concern, but you do have to worry about a freshman making freshman mistakes. And even if he is the more talented player, with the run game that Vandy has and defense that they have coming back, I do wonder if maybe the decision was, let's get somebody who is more of a known commodity that can distribute the ball when we need him to, but we know isn't going to make the mistake that's going to cost the team.
Yeah, and I could also see in that first game with Austin Peay, Jared Curtis takes the second half, and you have Blaze Berlewitz take the first half. And then you go into Delaware and you think, well, maybe if Jared Curtis looked good in the first game of the second half, maybe he gets the start, then vice versa, they split another half. But I think once you get to NC State, you need to have a decision of who you're going to have at quarterback, because once you get to Auburn, and I have a few friends, one was a punter at Mississippi State, and he said his first ever SEC game was at Auburn, and he said that was the loudest environment, more chaotic than ever. I could only imagine for a freshman quarterback going into Auburn and just hearing the eruption of the fans. It's shaping up to be something very difficult and fun at the same time, but if you're Vandy, you got to have somebody consistent by week three or week four.
Right. That's the one concern for me, and that's been my argument all along, is that if it's close, doesn't it make more sense to give Jared Curtis the runway to improve and give him the ability in these games where Austin Peay, you're probably a 4-touchdown favorite. Delaware, probably a 3-4-touchdown favorite. Given the opportunity to go out there and play loose and maybe get some of those jitters and nervous energy out of him, you know, it's a lot. The first time that you walk into a stadium as the starting quarterback and the first time you take the field and get into a huddle and go through all of these firsts, I always thought it made more sense for it to happen at home against those types of teams because, you look at Auburn and Georgia as your first two games in the SEC, both those games on the road. That's not an easy way to make your first career start, like you said, Nick. But even week three against NC State, like, NC State's not a bad team. Yeah, it's not an SEC team, and you get to play it at home at the very least, but that is no gimme that you're going to get in week three. I do think that if you plan on playing Jared Curtis at some point early in the year, he's got to get those reps and get those firsts out of his system to make sure that he's not going in. And it's just, I mean, Jared Curtis, I think, is a very confident player. And I don't think it's going to be one of those things where he's a deer in the headlights out there completely. But you also don't want him to go out there and completely lose his confidence because he's being thrown into the fire against Auburn or Georgia in one of the toughest environments to play in the country.
Yeah, and you mentioned NC State there. I mean, they still have their quarterback from last year, C.J. Bailey. I mean, you have Duke Scott that's now taking that running back role because Hollywood Smothers transferred to Texas. But they went to the portal, and they got two starting wide receivers, Davion Dozier and JoJo Trader. And those two are, you know, upperclassmen. They're juniors that understand what it takes to play at a high level. And, you know, if Vandy's defense is not, you know, up for the standards of it, NC State could, you know, maybe take a few touchdowns here and there, and Vandy will be in a little bit of a tight corner.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what this long-term looks like. Corey Curtis just texted in and brings up an idea of, do you think they might just be throwing Blake a bone here? I'll be surprised if he starts week two or three. And maybe that's it of, this is a guy who's been paying his dues over the past 2 years at Vandy and beyond that at New Mexico State. He's been working, and they want to honor him and give him the opportunity to start week one. I have no idea. Clark Lee, I'm sure, is going to speak to the media at some point this week leading up to week one and be able to tell you what went into the decision and what this looks like beyond the first week of the year. But I do think that for Vanderbilt this year, the plan has to be to make sure Jared Curtis is ready to go for next year, right? Like, obviously the results matter this year, but I think this is a building year. And you want to have Jared Curtis ascending as the season ends, heading into year two and feeling comfortable and confident. When you have a more talented roster around him already this year, you can take that to another level next year. I do think that the plan this season has to be centered around Jared Curtis and building around him for the next 2 to 3 years to get this team back into a college football playoff contention.
Well said. Yeah, I just think for Blaze Berlowitz's situation, like you said, throw him a bone. I think it's more of the continuity with that offense, like you mentioned, Jake, from New Mexico State up to Vanderbilt. It's more of like, hey, young buck, take a step back and watch how this offense really works in an in-game setting. And once I feel like Jared Curtis gets the gist of that, that's when I think they just make the switch in the first or second game. And then from there on out, that's where you're going to see Curtis hopefully flourish in this Vanderbilt offense.
Yeah, we will have to find out. I do want to get Connor's thoughts on this, and we can do that coming up next. Have you guys seen the Music City Rivalry uniforms?
Not a fan.
Really?
We'll
get into that later this hour, too. The rivalry uniforms are out. As 1178 says, that the rivalry jerseys were leaked by Fox News this morning. I did see the jersey, but we didn't know what the color helmet it was going to be. It's the light blue. So we'll get into that, too, here in hour number one. Again, I am live at Titans training camp at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Practice going to get going later on this morning. We'll give you updates when we can at the end of practice today, not open to the fans. We'll also have player interviews and much more throughout the day. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. We'll continue talking Vandy. Again, the reports from Pete Thamel and On3 this morning, Blaze Berlowitz going to be the starter in week one against Austin Peay, but Jared Curtis will also play. We'll talk about it more coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1-2-5 the game. Keep up with training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as we get you prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. We are live at Titans training camp. Practice will get going a little bit later this morning. We'll give you updates at the end of practice if we can. Did want to stick with Vandy here. The decision this morning was reported by Pete Thamel and On3 that Blaze Berlewitz will start week one against Austin Peay. Jared Curtis still going to play. We don't know what this means long term for the season. But Connor, I know you have some strong thoughts about this decision. I wanted to get your take on it.
I hate it. I think it's a horrible decision because you bring in the highest rated recruit that this program has ever seen and you don't give him the start. I think some of it is I'm comparing it to what the other team in the state did in Tennessee, and you start your true five-star freshman and you ride with him. But to me, in today's modern college football, you can't bring in the big fish like that and then slowly bring him along, because if you try to slowly bring him along, he's going to get unsettled with it. He's going to get upset with his position, and he's going to, you know, pack things up and leave and find someone who will start him. That's the fear. So I think it's a dumb decision. I understand he's going to get in there and probably be the starter later down the stretch, and maybe they are, in fact, throwing Blaze Berlewitz a bone. But you have a pristine opportunity against an FCS team of a lot less significant talent to throw a true five-star freshman. Again, the number one quarterback in the class, you had the opportunity to throw him a bone and throw him out there and see what he can do against probably the easiest team on your schedule. I don't understand the decision. I really don't. I just think it would have been so much easier if you did, in fact, decide to start your true freshman out there. And maybe this is the new age Connor thinking of this is how college football works now. We've seen it across the nation. Tennessee's doing it. Michigan did it last year. There is someone else that did it, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But
yep.
You have to do this. And I understand you want to go with the veteran leadership, but that is an NFL mentality. It's not a college football mentality. And a college football mentality says you start the young gun, otherwise he walks. That's just my thinking.
I get what you're saying of, yes, in this new age of college football, you have to make sure you're keeping your highest-rated recruits happy. Right? Like the guys you bring in, there's going to be interest everywhere else and every other school. Even once you get them to commit and sign and they're on your team, there are other teams that are still trying to get him to come and hop in the portal and come play for them. I also think you have to balance it, though, with you can't kill the young man's confidence, right? Like there's got to be a balance of yes, he's got to get into the games because you don't want him to become unhappy, unsettled, I think was the word you said, which is a good one. But I also think you can't throw him in there and say, all right, we're throwing you to the wolves. And if he struggles, you may just lose that confidence that allowed him to be the prospect that he is. I understand why Clark Lee is doing it. I think it's just it's going to be a balance of finding the right moments to insert him early on. And I think Clark Lee, the way he talks about Jared Curtis, I think Clark's going to know when the right moment to fully hand the reins off to him is. I don't know when that's going to be. Is it going to be midway through the Austin Peay game, right? Like, is this just a, hey, let's give Blaze Berlewitz the opportunity to start and thank him for his years of service, but this is Jared's team and he'll take over end of the first quarter or whatever it is. Or is it, we're going to have both of them play. Maybe they'll each play a half against Austin Peay, and whoever plays better starts against Delaware. I don't know. That's a question for Clark Lee to answer. But I do understand the idea of balancing the not wanting to just completely throw him into the fire and see, you know, maybe he loses all of his confidence and you've got to bench him at some point halfway through the season. Or you have to balance the side of, yeah, if we don't play him this year, we might lose him in the portal. So you've got to look at both sides of that there.
Yeah, and also, too, Jake, and I don't want to, you know, sound like a negative Nelly when saying this, but, you know, when Jared Curtis joined Vandy during the, you know, bowl game practices, you kind of understand the offense a little bit. I mean, going back to his high school senior year, and again, yes, put on a show for sure. But the closest game they had was week two against Innsworth, 42-41 in overtime. The rest of those games, 45-13, 58-0, 71-6, 53-0, 49-42. That was the second closest game, Tyner Academy. My point is, I don't know if the quality of play he had his senior year was enough to really prepare him for a start his freshman year at Vanderbilt in the SEC, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have talked about that too. Of he played at a small private school. It's not like he was playing 6A Texas football over the last 4 years and was playing against a ton of other high-level Power 4 Division I prospects. So people have talked about that before of, is he going to be ready to make the jump to college football? I just wonder if the ramp-up process of getting Austin Peay, Delaware, NC State, and then into the SEC schedule would have been more beneficial. But again, we don't know at this point of how long Blaze Berlewitz is going to play against Austin Peay, how long Jared Curtis is going to play, what's the plan for week two. All we know at this point is that Blaze Berlewitz is going to get the start. We kind of have to wait for Clark Lee to clear up and fill in the gaps here for us to be able to make a full-on conclusion about this. But I think overall, I understood both sides of the argument here of starting the experienced guy in Blaze Berlewitz, but also the uber-talented young guy in Jared Curtis. We're just going to have to see how Clark Lee massages this situation throughout the entire season.
And also to add on to that, Jake, like you guys mentioned earlier, like trying to keep the freshman quarterback at bay, like, you know, if he's happy or not happy, make sure he doesn't transfer, whatever, the following season. Jared Curtis is getting paid, what, $2+ million in NIL value? Like, to be fair, I think he's pretty content with where he's at right now. And maybe, you know, he sits a game or two, whatever, just to understand the offense. And I know he's had all offseason to do so, but I don't think there's a worry at that point of keeping him satisfied to be with Vandy. Until, you know, maybe the record goes south, but I just don't see that happening. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at this from a different lens.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a little surprised to see the news this morning that it was Berlewitz. I would have understood both decisions, but I was kind of leaning that I thought it would be Curtis. We will see. I don't know when Clark Lee's next media availability is, but I'm sure he'll be able to clear up some of the confusion here of, is this just a decision to reward Blaze Berlewitz for all the work he's put in for the last couple of years, and then you pivot to Curtis? Or is this a decision for just 1 week, and then we'll see what happens? Or is it a decision for the long haul? We don't really know, but it does look like Curtis is going to play in that game against Austin Peay as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Again, I am live at Titans training camp. Coordinator's going to speak shortly here, so we'll give you any updates if there's any noteworthy nuggets from those press conferences coming up, and then practice gets going in a little bit here. I did want to get to the uniforms coming up next. The rivalry uniforms are out. Titans going back to Navy. They've got the light blue helmets. We'll give you our thoughts on them. And Houston doing what Houston does best, trying to copy the Oilers' colors and say that they're theirs. We'll do that after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1-2-5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you. Again, I'm live at Titans training camp. Practice will get going within the next hour. Again, not open to the fans. We can't give you live updates today, but we'll hopefully be able to give you some updates before the show wraps up at noon. Titans, along with seven other teams, releasing their rivalry uniforms this morning. The NFC North and the AFC South getting to use these alternates this year. The Titans, they go to the navy two-tone blue. They've got the light blue numbers, light blue helmets, and the Music City in white script across the chest. I like it. I got to say, I'm a fan of it. I think the light blue helmets are sweet. I'm glad they went with that over another navy helmet. I was getting a little excited about a possible black uniform. I think the Titans were trying to tease that they could be going with black. But I am glad, after all of the controversy when the Titans went back to the Oilers color scheme and people wanted the navy, I'm glad there is now a navy option and a two-tone blue option for everybody out there.
Jake, I don't know. Connor and I at the back of the studio, we're just not on board with the New Jersey combo. I mean, what I see initially, I see the Los Angeles Rams just number font. I see a dark blue jersey that doesn't really pay homage to the old navy blue. And then I see the helmet, which I'm a fan of. I think they need to implement that helmet with some of their primary uniforms. Like, I'm not saying the home, you know, blue jersey, but I'm talking about the away jersey with the baby blue helmet and white pants. I think that would look nice. This is going to have to grow on me. Like, I just tweeted, I was like, this is a jersey that's going to have to grow on me. I just can't get on board with it just yet.
Yeah, you guys don't seem to be big fans of it. I will say that out of everything involved with it, the helmet is my favorite part.
Like, yes.
The light blue helmet, that's something that we haven't seen before from the Titans. I do think that maybe it does open the door, like you said, to use this in other combinations. You would probably have to change out the decals to add a little bit of red to make it match. But that doesn't change, like, the two-helmet rule or whatever they're using now. I know it used to be the one-helmet rule. But you could still use this helmet, change out the decals, and use that as, like, an alternate look with your home jerseys. I kind of like that. But I will say the helmet's the best part. I'm not completely sold on the jersey, but I do – I like the Music City. I like that they've switched it up. It's a little bit different. I guess I might have to talk you guys into these ones. You guys both seem to not be into it too much.
I'm just not a fan. I like the helmet. I think the helmet looks nice, but it looks like a Titans carbon copy of the Detroit Tigers, which is probably why you like it.
Oh yeah, I mean it does look kind of like the City Connects of the Tigers.
It looks like that, and it looks like the Detroit blackout uniforms with the helmet. I feel like we could have gone away with the Navy. You know, I really like the Oilers look, and a lot of people don't. A lot of the older fans aren't huge fans of it because the two-tone blue is synonymous with this city. I don't know. I just think the font looks too Miami Vice for me. The Navy doesn't look like the same color Navy that the Titans have usually used. It looks a little bit lighter. And I don't really like the Music City across the chest. But I'm also not a huge fan of the rivalry uniforms in general, or even like City Connects or stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm spoiled by the current look of the Oilers colors and the light helmet and the light blue jerseys. I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan. You're going to have to talk me into them. I can't get there yet.
I think I am a bigger fan of their base uniforms than these. I just think the Oilers look is their best look. But I think this is a nice change of pace to have with what you have now. Now that you've gone to the Oilers colors, having something that is more Titan-centric, I guess I do see what you're saying about it not being the original, like, Titans navy blue, but it's close. It's close. I do think it's funny, though, and I saw Easton Freeze tweet this out. It's hilarious that these are the Titans Broadway Knights jerseys. And because they play no primetime games, we're going to see Broadway Knights at noon on a Sunday against the Jags.
Gotta love it. You gotta love it. And if it's at, you know, somewhat of 85 degrees in the middle of September, then that's going to be even better because they'll be sweating up you know what, because it's going to be toasty.
That, you know, that is true. At least this one is it like first weekend of November that they're going to be playing?
Right.
Or sometime
something like
early.
That.
So, yeah. But they are going to wear these for the next 2 years, I think. So this won't be the only time you wear them. You would think the Titans would have a primetime game next year after back-to-back years without one. Maybe not. I thought they would have had one this year. But I do think that you would think they'd be able to finally wear these at night next year. I like the jerseys. I really do. I am a little disappointed it's not black. I've been saying for years they need red or black uniforms. I do wonder, and I think Chase brought this up, of they use this as their navy, and maybe next year they introduce a red alternate uniform that looks like their base ones now. The Oilers colors, but it's a red uniform. I just think for years people have been asking for red uniforms. People wanted the black uniforms this year with the rivalries. Throw the fan base a bone here. I think a red uniform, a red alternate, would go really well with the current set the Titans have.
As much as the fans want it, they probably won't see it. It's an Amy Adams and Bud Adams thing. Bud never liked the red. I don't think it'll happen. But, I mean, look, we can always hope for it, right? I mean, I do think in this current uniform, rivalry uniform they put out, with the numbers, like if you go look in detail, I would have liked to have seen a very thin line of red piping around the white. I know it's trying to ensemble the neon sign. Well, if you want that number to truly pop, give us a little bit of a red outline outside the white, inside the, I guess, number, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
There's just, like you said, Jake, there's not enough red in here. I need some red.
I think they were trying to get away from the red for this one because they leaned so hard into the Oilers colors for the new uniforms. And you remember the outrage after they released these uniforms of, oh, this isn't Titans, this is Houston, this isn't Nashville. It's, I think this was kind of a, all right, you wanted Titans colors, here's Titans colors for you. Here's your two-tone blue. I like it. I do think that the new ones that they've got, the ones we've already seen, are better. But I think this is a good addition to the wardrobe.
Yeah, and, you know, like we talked about earlier with the helmet, if they can combo it with other uniforms, if they can – obviously they can't do this, but the jersey, the Music City navy blue jersey, if they could combo that with some white pants – I'd be all right with it. I think that'd be something to look into, but that's just me.
Wes from Hermitage on the text line says, I don't think the uniforms matter unless your starters can beat any team's backups. I hear you guys, but this team is absolutely terrible. Y'all want us to look elite while playing football this bad. It's separate conversations, right? These aren't uniforms. The uniforms they released in, was it April that those came out, or March?
Yeah, early in the year.
And the ones they released today, it's like... They're going to be wearing these for a while. Eventually, this team's going to get better, right? You hope it's this year they take a step, but eventually they have to get better, right? And they'll still be wearing these uniforms.
Look good, play good in some sense, but if you're not playing good, I mean, you're going to look good, but it's not going to look good on paper.
I feel like old man yells at cloud today. I hate the decision for Vanderbilt. I don't particularly like the uniforms. Maybe I'm the negative one around
here.
Yeah,
somebody woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, Connor.
Well... I was.
We've come to you back-to-back segments, and I think the first words you've said are, I hate it.
I didn't say I hate it. I don't hate these. Well, I just don't like them.
Get off my lawn.
David in Arkansas says, I don't think red alternate will ever be an option, especially since Houston wears red as an alternate. I will say, I don't think the Titans care what Houston is doing, because clearly Houston doesn't care what the Titans are doing. Have you seen their uniforms?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, their post was... Our city, our colors, our team. And it's basically a carbon copy of the Titans' road uniforms right now. It's white with the red and light blue stripes, light blue numbers. They might as well – it's literally the old meme of like, hey, can I copy your homework? Sure, just change it up a little so people don't notice. Like, it's exactly that. They changed the font. The colors may be a little different. Basically what Houston said is we're going to make it as close to Oilers' uniforms – but not close enough that we don't get that we're going to get sued by the Titans for using it.
It is the thinnest of thin red piping on the outside of the numbers. If you go back and look at it, it is the thinnest of red lining on it. It is hilarious.
It is so funny that I mean, the Titans have already gone after what, the University of Houston for using Oilers like colors.
Yes.
This is way closer than it should be, I think. I mean, the quote-unquote H-Town blue that they use, it's a little bit different from what the Titans are using, but it's not that different. And if you remove the logos, it might as well be the same as the Titans' road uniforms they're wearing right now.
Yeah, basically so. I mean, when you compare the Texans' uniforms to the Titans' uniforms, who would you say wins that right now, Jake?
The overall or the rivalry?
The rivalry.
I mean, the Houston ones, we've already seen them. The Titans wore them 2 weeks ago. So I'm gonna say the Titans one is better.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know. It's hard to beat the all-whites. But, again, like you said, we saw it 2 weeks ago. So
Justin Mello quote tweeted the Texans announcement with cease and desist. Like, it is uncanny how similar they look. We will talk about some of the other ones. Wrap up hour number one after this. Again, I am at Titans training camp. We'll talk plenty of Titans today. We also didn't get into it yesterday, but there's been a lot more developments with NFL players returning to college football. We'll get into that in hour number two as well and get to your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up, 1-2-5 the game. Next man up, 102.5 the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Live at Titans training camp today. Titans coordinators about to take the podium. In fact, I'm watching Brian Daboll walk up to the podium right now. So if there's anything notable from their conversations with the media, we will let you know. But we were talking about the rivalry uniforms that are out right now for the entire NFC North, the entire AFC South. We went through the Titans ones and the Texans, who have basically carbon copied the Titans slash Oilers uniforms. Any of the other ones stand out to you guys? I think the other two in the AFC South are horrible. I think the Colts and Jaguars ones are not good at all.
Yeah, Colts, I don't know what they were thinking. Jags, I mean, the Jags are synonymous for always having bad rivalry uniforms, or those City Connects, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they just never can seem to get the branding right. But you know,
bring back the mustard yellow.
Yes. I'm all about the mustard yellow. What was that with the Jack Del Rio era, correct?
That was Blake Bortles.
Oh, yeah,
that
Blake Bortles. Yeah,
Del Rio, was Del Rio there at that point? No, it was Doug Marrone was their coach at that point, I think. But, God, I mean, was there anything better than Thursday night Titans, Jags, Color Rush, Bortles, Mariota with, I mean, the baby blue versus the mustard yellow? That's prime Thursday night football right there.
Yeah, that's what everybody just yearned for. They wanted to sit down on their televisions and watch on NFL Network back in the day when the Color Rush was on NFL Network. Now it's on Prime. But, yeah, those were the good old days of the NFL.
That's what I was hoping they would do with these rivalry uniforms, because we knew that the Titans were going to play the Jags when they wore these. Just bring back the old school Color Rush and have them duke it out like they did back in the I guess the Jags were good in what? 2017 was the year they made the, or 16 was the year they made the run to the AFC Championship game?
17.
Was that 17 Josh Allen's rookie year too, or no?
Yeah. Well, it was the year it was Tom Brady was like the best quarterback in the conference championships, and then it was
it was Bortles, Foles, and Case Keenum.
Yeah,
that was a great championship Sunday. And honestly, the Jags should have won that game. Miles Jack kind of got screwed. They ruled him down by contact. He would have taken it back for a touchdown. So, but it was like the 3 years before that when the Jags and Titans were both bad, and it's like mid-November Thursday night football game. The only reason to watch was the horrible Color Rush matchup. So I'm not a huge fan of the Jags one. I'm not a huge fan of the Colts one. The Colts one looks almost exactly like their alternate they've been wearing for the last year or so. It was like Indiana Knights or something that they've been wearing with the blue helmets. So anyway, and the NFC North, a lot of them look pretty basic, like similar to what they already wear. The Lions one, they just look like they're the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, it's like a weird gray. I don't know how to describe that. It's like a grayish silver. I get you're trying to get the Motor City vibe, but it just doesn't hit. I mean, the black numbers. What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that one. I think out of the NFC North ones, my favorite one is the Packers. I think the Packers is my favorite one.
See, they've I think got they the suck.
Really? You don't like the – me and you have very different opinions on
look
uniforms.
Like, they look like Knox Catholic. Like, they look like high school jerseys to me.
See, I like it. I think it's a good – because the Packers couldn't get too far away from tradition, I don't think. With that franchise, you've got to keep it kind of within the realm of green, yellow, white is really the only places you could go. I think it's a good look for them. I think it's a nice twist on their classic look. What's your favorite out of the NFC North, Connor?
Out of the North, I guess the Vikings. I don't really like any of them, but the Vikings kind of went with like a burnt purple with the Norse font.
Yeah,
it looks all right.
I do like the Vikings one.
The Bears look like Illinois to me. I'm not a huge fan of those, and then the Lions look like a Pop Warner High School football team, so not a fan.
Yeah, I will say I think if I had to rank the NFC North ones, I'll go Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions. And then AFC South, I think the Titans have the best of the AFC South. I'd put Houston second, even though I think it's just they're just trying to be petty. And then I'll go Jags, Colts in that one.
I'll actually flip-flop with you, Jake. I'm going to go Jags second, then Houston. Just because we've seen it already. I think it's kind of funny. Like, you know, we all trash on the Jags. We get it. But the cheetah print pants is pretty funny. I think that is a nice touch.
The cheetah print on the pants is a nice touch. I mean, I will give them that.
I like the helmets.
I was talking with Chad over here. I just thought the color of the pants didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, I like the stripe with the cheetah print, but like, I just don't. I don't know if it makes the most sense of what they could have done. Like, the is it black pants that they've got? Like, I would prefer the teal, white, teal.
Yeah, I could see, like, the teal pit. Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. But I think it's because their secondary logo is, or second or third logo, or logo, what am I talking about? Color is black. The that's where you look at the cleats and say black, and that teal blue is why they do that. But I don't know. Teal and gold would have been nice for the pants. That'd be kind of nice. But, you know, they just can't figure it out. I mean, that's typical NFL.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, I think overall it's a I think they did done a good job with these rivalry uniforms through 2 years. Like, I think it's nice to give teams more looks. Like, I always hated the one helmet rule for such a long time, especially when the Titans were to bring the Oilers uniforms back. But because of the one helmet rule, when they had the Navy helmet, you couldn't change it. So I'm glad. I don't think you need to have each team gets 8 different uniforms. Like the NBA, it feels like every team wears a different uniform every night. I don't think you need that. But I think it's nice to have the NFL give these teams more looks. Like the Bills uniforms they released, they're the same uniforms, but they're doing the red helmets again. Like, I think that's great. Give these teams more looks where they can have different combinations, different variations from week to week.
It's fitting how the Green Bay Packers and Chicago Bears, one of the most historic franchises in all of the NFL, and yet they try to reinvent the wheel, but not really reinvent the wheel. They keep it pretty simple. And it's cool because you start the college football season for Notre Dame and Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. Those jerseys the Green Bay Packers have remind me a little bit of both, Wisconsin and Notre Dame. I know that's not, you know, the gist of what they're trying to do, but it kind of folds everything together in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you. 615-737-1025. Chip from Mount Juliet, who is a Packers fan, says loved the Packers jerseys. Very nostalgic and old school. 4312 says all City Connect jerseys suck across all sports. Look who designs this, and do they like who designs this, and do they actively try making them all look terrible? Yeah, it's tough. Like you mentioned, the Tigers ones, Connor. I think those ones have aged horribly, and they barely even wear them anymore because they have the new alternates that look way better. It's a tough line to go with the alternates and try and make them unique and have connections to the city, but also not completely overdo it. So I'm not gonna say all of the new alternate City Connect, whatever you want to call them, jersey suck. But I think it's a thin line. Like you can go from clean and looking nice to just being super tacky very, very fast.
Yeah, the shelf life is very short. Like Connor and I, both Cardinal fans, the Cardinals put out a post on their Twitter saying what hat combo, words are hard. Thank you, Connor. Your quote, by the way.
Patent pending.
Yes. No, they put out a tweet saying, what do you like the best for combinations? And then they went with it. So, I mean, I just feel like these rivalries, City Connects, have a short shelf life.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Dable is at the podium. A couple of notes here. Let off with saying he's pleased where the guys are at. It's a competitive training camp so far. Says there's not a lot of teams that throw it deep down the field. It's certainly not on Cam. It's on all of us. It's an element of the offense where the whole team needs to improve. Did give Fernando Carmona some props on what he's been able to do on the offensive line. So we'll let you know if anything notable comes out of Brian Dable, Gus Bradley, Bones Fossil speaking to the media this morning. Again, Titans practice going to get going in just a little bit. Coming up next, though, I want to get into some college football topics. The big story this week, NFL players suiting up for their teams on Saturday and committing to LSU on Sunday. We will talk about it coming up next. The Big Ten also making a rule trying to prevent this. We'll give our thoughts after this. Hour number two, more Titans talk as well. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.